Hey everyone, so you know that book Divine Conversations you sent my way? Well, the premise really caught my eye. Stephen Scott, the author, creates this dialogue between six major religious figures. I mean, we're talking Jesus, Moses, Prophet Muhammad, Krishna, Guru Nanak, and even Siddhartha Gautama. And they're all tackling modern-day issues. Talk about an interesting conversation, right?
It's a pretty brilliant concept for sure. And what's really cool is that Scott doesn't present them as these untouchable, larger-than-life figures. He puts them right here in New York City, making them feel like they could be your neighbors, you
Totally. It's like, oh yeah, there's Moses grabbing a bagel in Brooklyn.
know?
But really, it just makes their viewpoints so much more relatable. For this deep dive, we're zeroing in on chapter one, religious freedom. It's definitely a topic that's always in the news, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And the chapter really digs into all the layers. It's not just theoretical. It brings in personal stories that give the whole concept more weight, you know? It highlights how religious freedom is a global struggle, not just in one place. And even in countries we think of as free, there are still problems.
Yeah, one story that stuck with me was about a woman in Iran. She had to practice Christianity in secret. Eventually, she and her whole family had to flee because of persecution.
It really makes you think, you know, for a lot of people around the world, religious freedom isn't just some idea, it's life or death. The stakes are incredibly high. And it makes you wonder, even in places where freedom is supposed to be a given, are we really living up to that?
Yeah, for sure. And what's interesting is the chapter doesn't just focus on these big dramatic stories. It zooms in on the everyday experiences of people from all different backgrounds. There's a young Muslim American guy who talks about facing prejudice after 9/11. Then there's a Holocaust survivor worried about the rise in anti-Semitism. And there's even a teenager struggling with not having the freedom to not believe, you know?
That's what makes the chapter so powerful. It highlights all these different voices. It shows that religious freedom isn't just about protecting the majority religions. It's about making sure everyone, whether they believe or not, feels safe and respected.
Okay, so we've talked about the personal stories in the chapter, but what about the spiritual leaders themselves? What do they bring to the table? How do they understand religious freedom?
Well, each leader has their own unique perspective, which is interesting, but there's a surprising amount they all agree on. For example, Guru Nanak emphasizes that true religious freedom goes beyond just the right to worship. He says it's about living your life guided by your faith.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because that can clash with what society expects in all sorts of ways.
Exactly. And Prophet Muhammad adds to this idea. He stresses that respecting other people's freedom of belief is crucial, even if those beliefs are different from your own.
Yeah, that's definitely easier said than done, especially when you come across beliefs you think are wrong or even dangerous.
I agree. And this is where Jesus's perspective adds another layer. He asks this really tough question. Can freedom, even religious freedom, become a tool for oppression?
Whoa, that's deep. It makes you wonder if any kind of freedom can ever be absolute, you know? Or are there always limits and gray areas?
Exactly. And then Moses brings in this historical perspective. He connects the idea of religious freedom back to the Torah and the Jewish experience of oppression. He highlights the need to make sure everyone has freedom, not just the majority. It's a reminder that the fight for religious freedom has been going on for a long time, and the lessons from the past are still important today.
Yeah, it's important to remember all the groups throughout history who were persecuted for what they believed. Freedom isn't just handed to us, you have to fight for it, protect it.
Right. And Siddhartha Gautama, being Siddhartha Gautama, brings in the Buddhist view on compassion and understanding. He stresses how important these things are for fighting fear and prejudice, because those are often at the root of why religious freedom gets restricted.
So it's not enough to just tolerate other people's beliefs. You have to try to understand where they're coming from, even if you don't agree with them.
Exactly. And then Krishna reminds everyone that there are many different paths to the divine, and no one group can say they have the only truth.
That's a really important message, especially considering how much religious conflict comes from thinking your faith is the only right one. It makes you realize that respecting other paths doesn't make your own faith weaker, it actually makes it stronger.
Absolutely. And what's striking is how all these teachings, even though they come from very different faiths, come together to form a really unified message. Tolerance, compassion, recognizing our shared humanity, even when we have different beliefs. Those are the foundations for real religious freedom.
Wow, you know, just diving into this one chapter has really shown me how deep and complex this whole idea of religious freedom is. It's not just about laws and principles, it's about how we live our lives, how we treat each other. It's about how we deal with these big questions of faith and belonging. It's personal, it's political, it's spiritual, it's everything.
It really is. And while this chapter doesn't give you easy answers, it does leave you with a really important question. How can each of us, in our own little corner of the world, help create a world where everyone has true religious freedom?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Mm.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by how big the problem is, but maybe the answer is in those small acts of kindness, understanding, and standing up for what you believe in.
I think you're right. It's about understanding that the fight for religious freedom doesn't happen out there somewhere. It starts with each of us in our own hearts and minds and in the choices we make every single day. You know, one thing that really got to me in this chapter was how Scott brings in those everyday voices. Like, their stories make the whole conversation about religious freedom feel so real and personal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's one thing to talk about it as a concept, but hearing about a woman having to practice her faith in secret, that's different. Or a young guy facing discrimination just because of what he believes.
Exactly, and that's what gives the chapter its power. It forces you to see that for so many people around the world, religious freedom isn't some theoretical debate. It's literally life or death.
It really makes you think about your own freedoms. And if you're doing enough to protect the freedoms of others, you know?
Absolutely. And the chapter doesn't try to give easy answers, but it raises some really tough questions. Like, how do you balance the right to religious freedom with the need to protect vulnerable groups from harm?
That's a hard one, right? Because you want everyone to have the right to believe what they want. But you don't want those beliefs to be used to justify things like discrimination or violence.
Right. And that's where the dialogue between these spiritual leaders gets really interesting, because they're wrestling with those same questions.
So how do they approach that? What kind of insights do they offer?
Well, Jesus, for example, really emphasizes love and compassion. He says our actions should always be guided by a desire to do good and to avoid harming others.
That makes sense. But how do you apply that to something as complicated as religious freedom?
Well, Jesus challenges us to look at our own beliefs. Are they really rooted in love? Or are we using them to justify selfish or harmful actions?
So it's not just about what you believe. It's about how those beliefs play out and how you act.
Exactly. And then Moses brings in this historical perspective. He links religious freedom back to the Torah and what Jewish people have gone through with oppression.
That's such an important point. It reminds us that religious freedom wasn't just given to us. People have fought and struggled for it throughout history.
Exactly. And Moses emphasizes that the fight isn't over. We can't take it for granted.
You're right. Because even in places where religious freedom is supposed to be protected, you still see so much discrimination and intolerance.
It's true, which is why it's so important to stay vigilant, to speak out against injustice and defend everyone's right to practice their faith freely.
So what about the other spiritual leaders? What are their thoughts?
Well, Prophet Muhammad puts a lot of emphasis on respecting other beliefs, even the ones that are different from your own.
That's powerful, especially in a world where religious differences often lead to conflict.
Absolutely. And Prophet Muhammad reminds us that peace and harmony are only possible when we learn to live together and respect each other.
What about Guru Nanak? What's his perspective?
Guru Nanak stresses the importance of living a life guided by your faith, but he also talks about humility and recognizing that nobody has all the answers.
So it's not about forcing your beliefs on others. It's about living your truth authentically and letting others do the same.
Exactly. And Siddhartha Gautama, as you might expect, brings in that Buddhist idea of compassion and understanding.
Compassion seems to be a big theme in this chapter.
It is. And Siddhartha Gautama reminds us that it's the key to overcoming fear and prejudice, which a lot of the time are what lead to restrictions on religious freedom.
So it's not enough to just tolerate other people's beliefs. You have to actively try to understand them, even if you don't agree.
Right. And lastly, Krishna reminds us that there are many paths to the divine.
That's something we could all stand to hear a little more often, don't you think?
I agree. And Krishna's message is about being humble, recognizing that we don't have all the answers, and being open to learning from others.
It's amazing how these different spiritual leaders, coming from such different backgrounds, all seem to reach a similar conclusion in the end.
It is. Their shared message is that religious freedom is essential for a just and peaceful world. But it's also a really complicated issue, one that requires us to think carefully and keep the conversation going.
It's given me a lot to think about, that's for sure.
Me too. And I think it's a conversation we need to keep having as individuals, communities, and as a global society.
Absolutely. Well, before we go too far down that road, let's take a second to appreciate how unique the format of this book is. I mean, how often do you see a book where six major religious figures are just hanging out in a New York City park having a casual conversation.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It makes them feel so much more relatable.
Totally. And it creates some really interesting dynamics. You can see how their different personalities and perspectives clash and complement each other.
Yeah, and I love how Scott includes those everyday voices, too. It grounds the whole thing in reality and reminds us that these aren't just abstract theological debates. They're issues that affect real people's lives.
It's like we're listening in on this fascinating conversation, and I almost want to jump in and join them.
Me too, and that's what I love about this book. It invites us to engage with these big questions and to think critically about our own beliefs.
So what do you think is the biggest takeaway from this chapter? If there's one thing you want listeners to remember, what would it be?
I think the biggest takeaway is that religious freedom is complicated. It's not a simple issue. It's about finding a balance between individual rights and what society needs.
And that it's an ongoing struggle that we need to keep working at.
Exactly.
Well said. I think we've covered a lot in this deep dive. But I'm really excited to see where the conversation goes next, because this book has so much more to offer.
It does, and I'm excited to keep exploring it with you. You know, it's fascinating how, as we go deeper into divine conversations, Scott connects all these different things. Religious freedom, human rights, even technology. He weaves them all together into the story that speaks to what we're facing today.
Yeah, it's not just the big global stuff either. He brings it down to a personal level too, like how these challenges affect our everyday lives, our relationships.
Exactly, and I think that's what makes it so relatable. It doesn't shy away from how complicated things are, but it still offers this sense of hope. Like, even with all these challenges, we can still connect with each other, heal, and build a better world.
I love that. It's not about easy answers or quick fixes. It's about encouraging us to really think, to have real conversations, and to take action ourselves.
Absolutely. And something I find really inspiring about this book is how much it emphasizes the power of individual action, you know?
Right. Like, it's not just about waiting for governments or big institutions to fix everything. It's about each of us owning our choices and actions.
Exactly. And even those small acts of kindness, compassion, understanding, they can create a ripple effect and make positive changes in our communities and the world.
That's such an important message, I think, especially when it's so easy to feel overwhelmed by all the problems in the world.
I agree. But this book reminds us that we're not alone. We're all part of this human family. And together, we can actually make a difference.
You know, as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm struck by how hopeful this book is. Even when dealing with some pretty tough topics, there's this underlying belief that humanity can overcome anything.
Yeah, I feel that too. And I think that hope comes from recognizing that, even though we might have different beliefs and ideas, we're all connected by being human and wanting a better world.
That's a great way to put it. I think that's a perfect note to end on.
It is. And I hope this deep dive has inspired you to keep exploring these important ideas and to find ways to make a positive difference in your own life and in the world.
Absolutely. I highly recommend checking out Divine Conversations for yourself. It's a really thought-provoking and inspiring read, one that'll stick with you long after you finish it.
I couldn't agree more. It's a book that can really change hearts and minds, and that's where real change always starts.
So true. Well, that's all for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another exploration of the ideas that matter.